Okay, Alexander, let's talk about what's happening with the CV, and let's try to look a little forward and talk about what's going to happen when this crisis does end. It will end. It will end, and I think a lot of countries are going to have to start looking at the day after, seeing what kind of shape they're in, how their economies are doing. And in my opinion, I think that looking forward to when this crisis ends, I think that China will be fine. I think that Russia has handled the crisis very well and will come out of it relatively unscathed. I don't want to say it'll be in perfect condition, but it'll be relatively unscathed and it'll get back up to speed fairly quickly. And I think even though the US is going through a lot of hardship, it will get through it. And I think eventually it will reset and things will get back to normal in the US. You know, maybe not as quickly as, say, Russia, but, you know, give it 3 to 6 months, and I think things will start getting back up to speed in the US as well in the United States. For me, the big question mark remains the European Union and what will be of the European Union the day after all of this ends. I have some good news on what's going on in Italy. I think Italy has hit its, maybe it's hit its peak. From the AFP, Alexander, Italy cheers first drop in critical virus patients. The pandemic hit Italy, cheered Saturday after seeing its number of intensive care cases for the CV that stretched its healthcare system to breaking point drop for the first time. Civil Protection Service Chief Angelo Borelli called the drop from 4,068 on Friday to 3,994 on Saturday, a big moment in Italy's battle against CV. This is very important data point because the figure is decreasing for the first time, Borelli told reporters. So, Alexander, Italy, hopefully, knock on wood, is coming out of a very difficult time, but Spain is undergoing a very, very difficult moment right now. It has overtaken Italy, I believe, in many of the critical statistics regarding the CV pandemic. So take us through what's going on. What are your thoughts on what I just said as well regarding how the countries are going to be the day after? And also your thoughts on how Spain now views the European Union, because we've talked about how Italy is kind of seeing the EU in a different light. How is Spain looking at things?
Right. Let's first deal with the three great powers that you mentioned: China, the United States, and Russia. I agree. I think China has come through. They will have to change much about the way their economy works because they're no longer going to be the great export machine that sent, you know, vast piles of goods to the United States. That world is ending, and I think they will have to recalibrate their economy more towards a internal consumption and raising living standards within China rather than selling goods all the time to other countries. They can do it. I think they understand it. They will work it out. Russia is still coping with CV, but it closed its borders almost immediately. And the result is that the number of cases in Russia is still very, very small. They're ticking up at about 600 a day. That's confirmed cases. 600 a day is extremely slight by international standards. And the number of deaths is again relatively small, about 150, as I understand it. So they seem to be dealing with it, and it's hit a peak there. And the anticipation at the moment is that they'll be coming through fairly well at the end of April. And they've taken very various measures to support their economy, but nowhere close to spending the kind of sums that you've seen the United States having to spend. The United States has been hit very hard by this, by CV. It's had to spend trillions of dollars to do it. The US still has tremendous resources, and I agree it will come through. It will come through at the end of this year. We will see the US coming back. In fact, I predict the economy at that point will be roaring back. There'll be lots of problems left over. There'll be huge amounts of debt still to pay off. But the US will remain a major power and will continue to be for the foreseeable future. The crisis center is Europe. And the fascinating thing now is that there's been this extraordinary article by the Prime Minister of Spain, Mr. Sanchez, which has just appeared in Pedro Sanchez, which has just appeared in The Guardian, the most pro-European newspaper in Britain. And it makes extraordinary reading because it is saying exactly the kind of things that we've been saying in the Duran for a while, that the European Union is in an existential crisis, and that this is this crisis that the CV has brought to Europe has exposed all its underlying and fundamental flaws. And it's now appearing and being articulated by the Prime Minister of Spain. And I'm just going to read a few things from the article. It says, Europe is enduring its worst crisis since the Second World War. Our citizens are dying or fighting for their lives in hospitals that are overwhelmed by a pandemic which represents the greatest threat to public health since the 1918 flu epidemic. The circumstances are exceptional and call for unwavering positions. Either we rise to this challenge or we will fail as a union. Fail as a union. So, I mean, he's admitting the possibility of failure. So he goes on and says this, we have reached a critical juncture at which even the most fervently pro-European countries and governments, as is Spain's case, need real proof of commitment. We need unwavering solidarity. And then he goes on to say, we welcomed a number of significant measures that have been announced over the past few weeks, but these measures are not enough on their own. We must go further. And then he talks like this, Europe must build a wartime economy and promote European resistance, reconstruction and recovery. It must start doing so as soon as possible with measures to support public debt that many states, including Spain, are taking on. And it must continue to do so when this health emergency is over, to rebuild the continent's economies by mobilizing significant resources through a plan we are calling the New Marshall Plan, and which will require the backing of all EU's common institutions. And then he goes on to say, and this is an extraordinary thing, the United States responded to the recession of 2008 with stimulus, with a stimulus package. Europe responded with austerity. We all know the outcome. Today, when we are on the brink of a global economic crisis of an even greater magnitude than that of 2008, the US has implemented the greatest mobilization of public resources in its history. Is Europe willing to be left behind? It's time to break with old dogmas. We have entered a new era, and we need new responses. What Sanchez was trying to say is that the European Union is now at the point where it either moves forward or it breaks down. Spain's patience is almost at breaking point, and there has to be a mobilization of all Europe's economic resources, and that means debt mutualization. So that means Eurobonds. That is the indispensable logic of what he is saying. He means that Germany must rise to the plate and must start guaranteeing debt in countries like Spain and Italy, or the European Union will crumble. It could not be more clearly set out there. The Germans will not agree to this.
Going to Eurobonds again. Eurobonds are debt.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
So you're but just creating more debt.
You're going to create more debt.
But it's going to be shared.
But it's going to be shared. Shared with Germany, shared with the Netherlands, shared with Finland, shared with Slovakia. All of these countries will have to do that because Europe is in a wartime crisis, a crisis analogous to a war. And unless it mobilizes together, then it will fall apart. That's what he's saying. He's putting it as starkly as that. Now, given that he's not going to get what he's demanding, because there is no way the Germans will underwrite a program like this, they will never agree. Right. Opinion in Germany is solidly against it. And the German Constitutional Court has said it will be unconstitutional. It will be contrary to the German Constitution for such a thing to be done. So the Germans will not agree. And remember what you said, we will get out of this very quickly. But when we get out of this, German opinion will harden very fast against any such project, which, of course, Merkel has already rejected. So the Germans will not agree. The Dutch will not agree. The Finns will not agree. The Slovaks will not agree. All of those countries will not agree. And given what Sanchez is saying, if you believe what Sanchez is saying and the logic of what he's saying, then the European Union is going to break up, because the kind of solidarity he is asking for, the kind of Marshall Plan he is looking for, is not going to happen. That is the reality of it. So he is being very, very demanding. He's also making, I don't think they're just warnings. I think they are essentially threats. He's saying, we are the most fervid Europeans of all. That's what he says. It's in his article, countries that are, you know, passionately pro-EU. We are the most fervid Europeans. We are now at the end of that, our tether. We're taking over from Italy. We are in a worse position now than Italy is, and heading to a worse position than Italy ever was. The death rate in Spain is rising. The number of cases in Spain is rising. We are at the pivotal point. We had to accept terrible austerity after the 2008 crisis. We will not go that way again. There has to be a mobilization of pan-European resources, and it must be done through debt mutualization. Either that happens or it breaks up. He's not going to get it from the Germans. So following the logic of what he's just said, the European Union is going to break up.
All right. Let me see if I got this right, Alexander. We could wrap up the video. Mm-hmm. Let me see if I got this right, because there's merit to both sides.
Yeah.
And that's where I think that's where the rub is.
Yes.
That's where this can't go on any longer. Both sides see this from a very logical, prudent position. Spain, Italy, Greece, France. These countries are highly over-leveraged, highly indebted, especially Spain, Italy, Greece. Take those countries, for example, have a tremendous amount of debt. There's no way they can undergo austerity again.
No
way. And there's no way they're going to get out of this crisis the day after the pandemic ends. There's no way they're going to get out of this crisis under the heavy hand of the euro currency and under the current conditions, those being that these countries really have, with maybe the exception of Italy, really don't have much manufacturing or much output to get through this, to push their way through this. They're going to need loans. They're going to need money. And that's where the Eurobond comes in. And they're saying, why should we get the burden? Just these loans. Why should we be the ones that have to pay these loans? It's a European problem. All of Europe should buy into this this loan scheme, these Eurobonds. All of Europe should be responsible for these Eurobonds. Solidarity. There's that word. We need solidarity so all of Europe can get through this. So that's their position. You have Germany, for example, and the Netherlands and Finland, who are saying, why should we sign up to shared debt? Why should we take on the burden of your debt? That's going to expose them. That can wreck, and it will eventually wreck their economy, because at the end of the day, this is just kicking the can down the road a little bit longer. And so when the next crisis hits, Germany, Netherlands and Finland, they're going to be on the hook for this debt. Am I seeing this correctly? There's merits to both sides, and there's no way out of this.
Well, can I just say that there are merits to both sides, but neither side is really facing up to the logic of their own arguments.
Because right, I agree, but there's seeing it from a self-preservation standpoint is correct on both sides.
Absolutely. I mean, what the Spanish and the Italians and the Greeks and all the others are saying is, we want the euro, we want the European Union, we want all those things, but we also want Germany to pay for it all. We want to sort all of these problems out, but we want essentially Germany to pay for our membership of the euro. And when they talk about debt mutualization, which is all that Sanchez is talking about, it's very important to say something further, which is, of course, if you have debt mutualization, you have financial transfers. And that inevitably means at some point tax. So you're going to have Germany taxed to pay for Italy and Spain and whatever. And that means ultimately a central government with a treasury and a centralized tax system, levying taxes in Stuttgart and Berlin and Württemberg and Bavaria and the Netherlands and in Finland, Finnish taxpayers paying Italian to fund Italy. It does mean ultimately a super state. I mean, that is the logic of it. I mean, you can't really, I can't see how you can avoid that logic. This is why he is the biggest and most fervid supporter of it. So I don't know whether Sanchez himself has thought this through quite like that yet, but that is the ultimate logic of the position they're taking. Now, looking at it from a German side, the Germans will say, well, you know, we are a very well-run economy. We've kept our public finances in good shape and good order. Why should we be paying all these funds for all of these countries? But then, of course, again, the Germans, whilst they're doing all of that, they're not looking at the logic of their own position, because the logic of this does pull towards financial transfers, because you're not questioning the euro either. So neither the southern states are questioning the euro, nor are the northern states questioning the euro. But neither state is seeing through the logic of what they're saying. Neither the southern states nor the northern states are talking ultimately about straightforward financial transfers and the setting up of a super state. The only country that's doing so, or the only leader that's doing so, is Emmanuel Macron. Now, I don't think that's acceptable certainly not to the North Europeans. I don't think they will ever agree to that kind of project. We will see, but if they don't, if you follow again the logic of what Sanchez is saying there, they need to start breaking out of the euro, because it is the euro that is suffocating them.
Will the people in Germany, in the Netherlands, in Finland, in Slovakia, will they ever be convinced that we need a super state? I mean, when rubber hits the road, the European Union, I don't want a super state. The European Union, Macron's idea of this ultimate, the United States of Europe, say, will the German populace ever be convinced that this is the right way to go? Otherwise, there's going to be no European Union.
There'll be some people who in Germany who are so committed to this project that they will go along with it because, you know, they've invested so much in it already. But I don't think the bulk of the German people will. I mean, already they're very critical. There's so much that the European Union is doing. They don't like the negative interest rates. They don't like much about what they see about the way in which things are run in Italy and Spain and Greece. And, you know, being objective about it, in many ways, I don't blame them.
What are the risks that an average German, for example, the German state or the Netherlands has if they sign up to the super states? Like, what are the real practical, the real life risks of having this euro bond?
The real life political risks is that, as I said, Germany, which has got an excellent credit position, will see that erode as it becomes obliged to guarantee, to stand as guarantor for Italian debt. And that's what's going to, that will happen. I mean, that is an inevitable product of this. I mean, initially, euro bonds would come with a very high credit rating because the German Treasury stands behind them. But eventually, euro bonds will subsume all the others, and it will undermine Germany's own credit position. So Germany's already having to accept negative interest rates, and it would then be forced to accept liability for bonds, which are, you know, becoming increasingly expensive. And that would, what would then follow, and as I said, as night follows day, there would be demands for straight fiscal transfers organized by a finance ministry operating out of Brussels. It's inevitable. I think if you start going down that road, the CDU in Germany is going to face severe problems. Well, first of all, a lot of its members and a lot of the people in the Bundestag will never accept it. But I mean, the AfD will not be polling at 15%. It'll be polling at
30%. Wow. Wow. For the average German citizen or the average citizen of the Netherlands, what does that mean? Like, does that mean more taxes, for example?
Yeah, it means more taxes.
It would
mean more taxes at a time when they're paying, when they're not getting interest on their bank deposits, which matters to them. So that's what it means. And as I said, I don't see them going there. I mean, I really don't see them going in that direction. I can't see it happening. I could see some things being proposed. Perhaps Germany might be prepared to put up more money in the European Stability Mechanism, increase it from 500 billion to, say, a trillion. I could see Germany perhaps accepting that. But the kind of mobilization and Marshall Plan and debt mutualization, the kind of unlimited financial commitment that Sanchez is talking about, I don't see that being accepted in Germany. Germany at the moment is looking after itself. It too has a major health crisis on its hands. Let's not forget that thousands of people are falling ill in Germany every day. The German health system, however well organized it is also heavily overstretched. The very last thing people in Germany want to hear at the moment is that they have to bail out people in Spain and Italy and Greece all over again and accept liability for their debts and possibly have to pay more in taxes at a time when Germany itself is going to be in severe recession before very long.
Finally, Alexander, any other solution that you can see to keeping the European Union together? Forgiveness of the Greek debt, forgiveness of the Italian debt, forgiveness of the Spanish debt, wipe it all away.
Well, that would be the absolutely right thing to do. It would mean admitting to the people in Germany that all that money that was put in the European Stability Mechanism has been thrown away because, you know, the debt has been defaulted on. But what needs to happen, I'm going to say this very straightforwardly, the European Union has a future if it finally stops this drive to make itself a union and becomes a community instead, as it once was. That means ditching the euro. That's the, for me,
the currency.
The currency. It needs to give up on this project of the single currency. European monetary union has been a complete failure. And the sooner that is acknowledged, the better. I think that even if you cancel the debt, if you keep monetary union in place, the debt will simply come back. It'll come trickling back because these countries are not competitive against Germany. And if you start cancelling debt, can I just say what will happen is people in these countries will simply take out more debt and we'll be back within about 10 years, back where we are now.
So you mean the drachma, the lira, the Deutschmark? Yeah. Or will some northern states perhaps keep the euro, like Germany and Netherlands?
I don't believe
like
that.
Like a small group of...
Yeah, I don't believe that either. I mean, what purpose would it serve for example? I mean, and if you're talking about countries like Denmark and Austria and the Netherlands and Slovakia, if you keep the euro, what you're really keeping in you know, that kind of situation is an enlarged Deutschmark, which means that economically speaking, you're part of Greater Germany. Now, that might make a kind of economic sense, but I don't believe that countries like Netherlands and Denmark and Austria would be prepared to go down that road. At least I think it most unlikely.
How possible is that, by the way, Alexander? Just go back to your... Going back to the drachma in Greece or going back to the lira in Italy.
It can be done. There is no magic in this. It can be done chaotically. You can just one day announce Brexit or Italy, whatever it is, moves out and then they bring it. And then, of course, then that currency crashes. Or you can do it in a structured way. You can have transition periods and support mechanisms, and eventually things can be done. I mean, it can be done. It needs a lot of technocratic input. Europe has no shortage of technocrats who can work out this process. It can be done. Whether it will be done like that, I don't know. I doubt it. Actually, I think we're looking. I'm going to make this is not a prediction, but I think the most likely outcome at the moment is a chaotic collapse of the European single currency, with countries eventually bringing back their own currencies in an absolute mayhem and free for all. And we will see the lira coming back and the drachma and the peso and all of those, and they will devalue massively. And we will see a massive, a switch of funds to Germany, but eventually, after about 6 months of major turbulence, things would work out just as they would have done if we'd had the no-deal Brexit that people were so worried about. I mean, you economists survive these sharp reactions and adjust very fast. What is a disaster is keeping them going in the way that they're doing, locked indefinitely in the kind of system that we have now. That is death by a thousand cuts, or not a thousand cuts, a million cuts, prolonged over an indefinite time. And that is the worst outcome of all. That's my own view.
I wonder if a chaotic event like that takes place, social unrest, violence.
Well, there's talk of social unrest and violence in Italy at the moment. So, I think there would be some degree of unrest, but, provided states keep it in order, and I think they would actually, we mustn't frighten ourselves with these kind of stories. It was like the same with Britain, if you remember, and the no-deal Brexit situation. People were scaring themselves with all sorts of predictions, which I never thought had any real merit. And can I just say, if you are really worried about unrest, but you want to get out of this cul-de-sac that Europe is in, then, as I said, there is a way. You do it in a structured and properly organized and systematic way. It can be done. If you remember when there was the possibility of Brexit, Wolfgang Schäuble, the German finance minister, offered Varoufakis 50 billion euros to help Greece, to tide Greece over. It can be done. It can be the resources in Europe are there to do it that way. But whether they will be, I don't know. They certainly can't happen while Merkel's around. That I can definitely say.
Well, fascinating. Indeed, fascinating times. Alexander McCurse, Editor-in-Chief of the Durand, thank you very much. Guys, please subscribe to this video. Look for us on iTunes and SoundCloud as well for an audio copy of this video. And please donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. Also go to the Durand Shop, pick up some of our merchandise, buy an ebook, 100% of the proceeds from our ebook sales will go to Feed the Fight, which is a U.S. organization which buys from restaurants food and then delivers that food to doctors and nurses who are on the front lines. It's a great organization. If you know of any other organizations in the U.K., in Italy, in Spain, in other countries hard hit with the CV, please let us know in the comments down below or shoot me an email, and we will take a look at that as well. We're going to try to help as much as we can. Alexander, we also have a promotion with our friends at Patriotic Legacy and the Patriot Beacon. 20% off, Durand 20 at checkout, Patriot Beacon. Alexander.
Indeed so. And can I just say, if you buy yourself one of these, you will have the best torch I have ever owned. It is an absolutely fabulous torch. It's extraordinarily well made. It's, I gather, all aluminium, but it's really strong. And that is the alarm you can hear. So if you need to draw attention, if you need help, which you might sometimes do, I get my help from my dogs. In fact, they're just appeared, but they've just been sniffing. So when I walk my dogs and I need to call them, I press that and they come. But it is an amazing torch. It's strong. It's indestructible. It is beautifully well made. It is a joy to handle. It obviously works as a torch, as you can see, and it also flashes like that. And it's also perfect for having in your car because, as I said, if you have an accident, perish the thought, but some of us do from time to time, well, you can smash through the windscreen and you can also cut the seatbelt. It's got a seatbelt cutter. And as it's solar powered, it's also you can recharge because it's got a port there where you can recharge your iPhone and your tablet and your smartphone or whatever, or your presumably even your laptop. And because it's solar powered, it doesn't work on batteries, so it never runs out. And it's also got a magnet, so you can stick it on the metal part of your car. Now, I absolutely swear by this. As I said, I'm a huge and committed driver. We're still allowed to drive in Britain, and I drive my dogs to a park where I walk them sometimes at night, and I need this to actually be able to keep track of where they're going because it's highly forested and I don't have particularly good night vision. I have to drive with special glasses. So, you know, it's absolutely the best possible thing you could have, I could have, that, you know, it's a wonderful tool. And if I ever get lost, well, it's even got a compass there. So you can always find your way. So the Patriot Beacon, made by Patriotic Legacy, our friends at Patriotic Legacy, the best torch you can find, indestructible. It would survive a meteor strike. I have absolutely no doubt of that. It is the best torch you can have, and I am delighted to recommend it to all our viewers. So we don't just have, of course, the Patriot Beacon. We also have our own shop. We have all the wonderful things at our shop. We have our wonderful own magic mugs, which we've spoken about so many times. Currently, I'm drinking Earl Grey tea from mine. They are the best mugs you can find, beautifully made, perfect to hold, strong and light, and a joy to see. And we also have these amazing polo shirts. I'm wearing the one I walked my dogs in a little earlier today. It was a beautiful, sunny, glorious day. I walked my dogs both at night and during the day, though I have to now alternate because you're only allowed to take them out once a day. So, but, you know, in the bright sun, it's the best possible shirt you can wear. 100% cotton, elegant and stylish to look at, comfortable, amazing polo shirts. And we also have polo shirts in many colors, and we have short-sleeved and long-sleeved t-shirts, and we've got hats, hoodies and stickers, all of the same amazing quality. But we've also got our ebooks, and can I repeat again what Alex was saying? We are very conscious of the great tragedy that's unfolding around the world, the great crisis that's unfolding. We are very conscious of the people who are at the front line holding the line against this terrible disease that has caused so much trouble and so much pain and so much grief to so many people. We know how hard it is for them. We want to support them to the extent that we can. So we are doing it by the commitment we have announced through our ebooks. They are great ebooks in themselves. We have more coming. If you buy our ebooks, you're supporting these health workers who need all that help. And in the United States, you're also supporting the food workers in the restaurants who are also being very hard hit at this time. And can I just say, in a little way, it's also a contribution to the economy also. So come to our shop, get yourself a Patriot Beacon. Here it is again. You can see it there. You can see what a great thing it is. And I put on the alarm once more. And you can also buy these great things from our shop, and you can buy our ebooks, and you can do some real good supporting the health workers and the food workers who are at this moment at the pulse center of this crisis. So Alex will now tell you how to do that.
I'll put a link for the Patriot Beacon in the description box down below. 20% when you put the code in Durand, 20% off the Patriot Beacon. And for the durandshop.com, I'll put a link for the ebooks as well in the description box down below. And I also want to say we have ebooks, new ebooks coming out this week. Anyone that purchases the current ebooks, I will make sure you get the new ebooks as well. No problem. Don't worry about it. Just whatever you purchase from the ebooks, we'll get you the new ones as well. And we'll get all that money to Feed the Fight and any other charities that our viewers recommend, Alexander.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely. Okay.
We'll wrap it up. Take care, everybody.
We'll wrap it up. Take care. Bye.